Good morning to each one this morning, and greetings in the name of our Savior, the one that has redeemed us, the one that has dealt with our sins. Appreciated the meditation this morning from Psalm 91, or from Psalm 51, and the cry for mercy there of King David. As has been announced, we are together this morning. I'm not sure how you view this. It's a council meeting. Maybe we view it as a twice-a-year ritual, just something that we have to get through. We're not really looking forward to it. I can remember in years past, it was sometimes something I dreaded because I would have to come face-to-face with some difficulties, some things maybe wrong in my life. And I was wondering this morning, is this service something that we look at as something positive or something negative? And the thoughts that I'd like to share this morning, I think, are both. I think there's some positive aspects and there's some negative aspects. And as I was thinking of this service for the last couple weeks, there was a word that just kept coming to me. And I'd like to develop that just a little bit. But the word that kept coming to me was free. Free or freedom. And I trust this morning that we are free. And what does freedom mean to you? What does it mean to me? And so my desire is today that we might be able to come before God and before one another with a free spirit, with a free in freedom before God, that there would not be hindrances, that there would not be those things that would be holding us back. You know, human nature is to want to do what I desire without restraint. And within man is a drive to be free from any restriction. And so, humanly speaking, we do not appreciate anyone that holds us back from doing what I want to do. And to some people, that is freedom. But actually, that develops into bondage, which we'd like to talk about here a little bit. You know, Adam and Eve desired to be free. And so they went contrary to the directive of God, seeking for freedom. And we know that the result of that has been continual sin, the sin nature, the sin problem down through the millenniums of time. And man has sought for freedom ever since, but freedom is not found in following our own way and following my own desire and trying to seek for that which pleases me. It is only found through Christ Jesus. That's where we find true freedom. And freedom comes when there is a giving up of self and serving our Master Jesus Christ. If you'd like to turn with me, I'd like to read just a few verses from John 8. We have here the account of Jesus speaking and interacting with some of the hearers there. I think I'll break in at verse 31. And then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Jesus told those that believed in him, he said, now it's the truth that's going to make you free. And I think that's something that we ought to get a hold of here this morning, that if we don't feel free, then we can get a hold of the truth and it will make us free. Well, they said, well, you know, we're children of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to anyone. So how are we going to be free? Any more free than what we are? And so Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a servant. Is in bondage. Is not free. And he said, but if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so I don't think Jesus was speaking here of political bondage. He was speaking of how sins bind the soul. And sin is a hard taskmaster. And if given over to sin, you are its servant. And you cannot free yourself. You're bound. There's no way of becoming free on your own. There's only one way to be freed from bondage, and that is through Jesus Christ and His truth. He said the truth makes you free. Later on, it was interesting for me to think about this. Jesus said this here, and I'm not sure how much time elapsed from the going on further in the book of John there in John 14, I believe it is. But Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But you know, man has continually been seeking freedom from a different source than Jesus Christ. And the way of seeking freedom is to have my own way. And I had to think of the promotion of evolution in the day in which we live, and how this seems to be man's way of trying to bypass accountability to an almighty God. I'll take my own way. I have no one to be accountable to. And as I think of a number of things in relation to bondage and freedom and so on, you know, there's been many wars of nations that have been fought over freedom. Now we think of our own nation here, of the United States, and back in 1776 there was a declaration of independence. Freedom. We want to be free. You know, we don't like the way the British are taxing us. So we'll set up our own government and we'll tax ourselves worse than ever, I guess. But anyhow, that have we really found freedom? I'm saying we collectively as a nation. But many wars have been fought as a desire to be free. I think of the immigrants that have come, particularly to America, but even maybe to Europe more recently and some of those things, in a desire to exercise more liberty, to have more freedom, to not be as oppressed. And so we have people trying to find freedom that way. Unfortunately, too many children and young people have left their home setting in search of a life free of restraint. Get out from underneath Dad and Mom. And I want to do what I want to do. And then, you know, that carries on into the churches. Those seeking for a greater freedom and go to other circles. I'm not sure what that freedom really is as I think about that, but that seems to be the cry. So bondage and restriction is despised. But a person that seeks for freedom for himself usually finds himself in a situation of greater bondage. Because seeking for freedom usually is from the wrong source. It's not sought outside of Jesus Christ. So freedom in a carnal sense is to serve self and its desires. I've known a little bit about this, but I did a little bit more research and it was interesting to find out a little bit more. In 1880, about 139 years ago, there was a man by George Walsner that founded a town in the Midwest. And his objective was to have a town without a church where unbelievers could bring up their children without religious training and where Christians were not allowed. His idea was to build up a town that should exclusively be the home of infidels, a town that should have neither God, hell, nor church, nor a saloon. Anyone know what town that is? Or was? Yeah, is. You've probably heard of it. Liberal, Missouri is the name of the town. Liberal, Missouri. And so some of the early inhabitants of Liberal encouraged other infidels to move to their town. Now, get this, I'm sure they were seeking for freedom. They were seeking for freedom from religion. They were seeking for religion or freedom from God. And some of the inhabitants encouraged other infidels to move to their town. And they published an advertisement which boasted that Liberal is the only town of its size in the United States without a priest, preacher, church, saloon, God, Jesus, hell, or the devil. Free of it. Don't have to worry about any of those things. Walzner, it's said here, I'm going to read a little bit of a quote. Walzner and his free-thinking associates were openly optimistic about their new town. Excitement was in the air, and atheism was at its core. They believed that their godless town of sober, trustworthy, and industrious individuals would thrive for years on end. And so this town, there was someone that came and did a kind of a survey of what was going on, and they found that this town was saturated with alcoholism. There was a disregard for any parental authority. There was swearing. They said that just almost everyone, men and women, children, were swearing. Immorality was rampant. Men and women were leaving their spouses and living with someone else. It was said that these infidels can spend for dances and shows, and they are corrupting the youth of the surrounding country with infidelity and immorality. There is no lack of loose women at these dances. You know, this experiment really didn't last very long. Liberal was a failure. And even lifelong unbelievers who had moved there for its advantages left in disgust. And there was one that said this: an infidel surrounded by Christians may spout his infidelity, and the community may be able to stand it, but it will never do to establish society with infidelity as its basis. And so in a few short years, Walzner and those attracted to his community discovered that freedom from God and moral principles was a disaster. And soon there were churches established. And soon there were those who recognized the place of God. And so that's a blatant trial, you might say, at trying to get along without God and live according to one's own thinking. Now, in our recent meetings that we had, Brother Steve was here. You know, he clearly laid out the necessity of identifying sin and having it cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And so if we are in bondage to sin, we are not free. Nor are we ready to partake of communion emblems. A little later here, I'd like to think of several different aspects of being free. But before we do that, I was thinking, first of all, freedom that is taken. You know, the enemy of our soul wants to enslave us, and it's possible that we have been free from the clutches of Satan and yet be taken in again. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive at him by his will." And so this morning we want to make sure that we are safe in the in our relationship with Jesus and not taken captive by Satan. In 2 Peter 2, we could probably read this whole chapter. I'm going to just read a few verses here. In the first two verses says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And so there are those who deny the very Lord that gave His life for them in the name of freedom. Okay, going on down then to verses 18 and 19. And I think this is speaking of the false prophets. For they speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. So I think the thought here is that false prophets claim to have a great liberty. And they promise liberty to others. But they themselves are actually servants. They're servants of corruption, of that which is evil. And so that is where one's freedom is taken from him. You know, there are many men and women today who are incarcerated because of their acts, because of sins against society. And I know I've mentioned David Miller a few times and some of the things I've noticed there. Elsie and I went, a couple weeks ago, we went up to the penitentiary here and visited again. And I was just impressed again at those bars, those barriers, those restraints from the freedom that those men would like to have. And so you come up there and a metal door opens to let you in, and they slide it shut, and then you go to another and make sure that there's no one can escape. As we were visiting, I this happens, I guess, almost every time we visit with David. He talks about the time when he can be free. And you know, he sat there and he said, you know, in 4.5 years, I can walk out of this place a free man. Well, you know what? I didn't say this, but in 30 minutes, I can walk out as a free man, out those same doors. Now, I'm not saying that to boast, but I'm saying the hopelessness. I mean, those bars and those doors don't really bother me because I know I can come right back out again. But they are a barrier to freedom for those individuals. And you know how helpless a prisoner must feel. No way to change his circumstances. And you know, the same thing is true in a spiritual sense. There is bondage. There are many behind bars of self-will. There are many behind the bars of giving over to the wiles of the devil. Now we know the story of Peter, how that he was in prison and how he was unexpectedly released. And I've had to wonder what it would be like if the governor of the state would go to the penitentiary and say, men and women, I've just made a proclamation. You are all free to go. The doors are open. Just go. Well, I imagine there'd be a mad scramble to get out of there. Would there be those who would say, Governor, thank you, but no thanks. I would rather stay here. Now, maybe there would be some. I don't think so. But you know, that's what Jesus has done for us spiritually. There is a way of escape that has been made from the bondage of sin. But there are those who say, no, thank you. No, I'm satisfied just to stay in bondage. I'd like you to, if you care to, or you can just listen. Psalm 107, I've often thought of this psalm here. There's four verses that are the same. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And the first part of the psalm, it talks about those who are wandering in a wilderness. But I'd like to read about those who are in prison. Beginning at verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. And here we get a picture, a poetic picture, of someone that is in the clutches of bondage, of being kept from freedom. And God himself comes. They cried to the Lord. And he saved them. And he broke the gates of brass and he cut the bars of iron in sunder. All right, I'd like to read a verse then from Isaiah 61, verse 4. And here we have the mission of Jesus. And this is something that he quoted when he went to the synagogue there that one day and was reading, or I say he quoted, he read it. And here's what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And so that was the purpose of Jesus. That's why he came into the world. That was why he went about and taught and did good and healed and raised the dead to life again. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. All right, I'd like to look at this word free from three different angles here. First of all, free from. Secondly, free of. And third, free to. Free from, free of, and free to. And so, free from. Liberty in Jesus Christ is not a ticket to do what you want to do. It's not that kind of freedom. But it is free from sin. I'm going to turn to Romans, Romans 6, where it talks about being free from sin. Romans 6, verses 16 to 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Well, now that's interesting. So we're looking for freedom, but we're going to serve somebody. Who are we going to serve? Well, Paul points out here that we were the servants of sin. And we know that sin is a hard taskmaster. It demands unwavering loyalty. But how can we become servants to righteousness? Well, he says here, by obedience. Obedience to the commands of God and of Jesus Christ. So we are free from sin. We're also free from the law. Now, you know, there was a certain bondage to the Mosaic Law. Dan talked about that just a little bit. There were constant demands to be met. There were sacrifices to be made. There were things to do and not to do. But Jesus has made us free. Romans 8, first five verses says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so we no longer have to keep the Mosaic Law. We no longer have to bring in our sheep and our oxen and so on to sacrifice to God. But now there is a new law, and it is the law of the Spirit of life. We are free from the law of sin and death. The third thing I see being free from is a guilty conscience. And I trust that that is where we are finding ourselves today, that we are and can be free of a guilty conscience. And you know, that was something that the Old Testament saints did not fully realize. I'm sure there was a release to a certain extent of confession and offering for sin. But Hebrews points this out in Hebrews 9, Verse 9, it says, which was a figure for the time present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. And so he says here that they came and they offered, but it did not purge the conscience. Then we go to verse 14, says basically the same thing. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I had to think of the song that we sometimes sing. It's in the church hymnal, Once for All. Here's the words of the first two stanzas. Free from the law, O happy condition, Jesus hath bled and there is remission, cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us. Once for all. Now are we free. There's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me and hear a sweet call. Come and he saves us once for all. And so we are free from. We also, as God's children, need to be free of. And if you want to turn with me to Ephesians 4, I wasn't quite sure just where to head into this, but there's a lot of different things here. You know, Ephesians 4, the first part, talks about keeping the unity of the Spirit. There's one body, there's one Spirit, and He gave gifts to men, and till we all come in the unity of faith. A number of good things here. But then starting at verse 17, it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And so there are a number of things that are listed here, and I thought maybe just real quickly go over some of them. It's not only good to think of the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, but it's also good to think of being free of some of the things that we had been guilty of in times past. And so as we look at the description of our past life and our past attitudes and our past feelings of ill will, we are no longer in bondage to these, but we are free of them. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now lasciviousness would have the thought of sensuality. Uncleanness would have the thought of impurity. And greediness would have the thought of covetousness. A desire for more, a desire perhaps for that which we don't need more of. Verse 22 speaks of that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So we are free of deceitful lust. And deceitful lust, I think we could define as a desire for that which is forbidden. Knowing that it is not for the child of God, but we have a desire for that. Verse 25 talks about putting away lying. Free of falsehood. Can your word be trusted? Do people know that when you speak, it's going to be the truth? Maybe they'll say, really? Is that really right? Yes. Or do they say, really? You know, I know better than believe you because you don't always tell the truth. No, we're free of lying. Verse 26, free of anger and wrath. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, we may excuse ourselves with righteous indignation. We're angry because of. Then, verse 29, free of corrupt communication. Corrupt would have the thought of worthless or bad or unwholesome, speaking that which is not worthwhile. And then verse 31 is loaded. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, free of these things. Bitterness, the root word of that would have the thought of poison. Having a poisoned attitude. Yes, but do you know how he treated me? It was terrible. And if we have that root of bitterness, it's going to devour us. It's going to eat us up. If we cannot forgive, it's going to bring rottenness to the inner man. Free of clamor. Clamor has a thought of outcry, tumult, brawling. Free of malice. Feelings of ill will toward others and what they do, what they say. So can we truly say this morning that we are free of? I hope we can. And that's one reason we're here together to consider where we are in our life. Maybe we even may even wonder why even talk about these vices. Those are things of the past. We've come to Jesus. And ask, and he's set us free, and doesn't the blood of Jesus cover any wrong that I have done or will do? We know this blood of Jesus will cleanse from any wrong that's repented of. But it does not cover for sinful living. And so if we are involved in these things, we're not free of. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. All right, then I would like to think yet that we are free to. Not only free from, not only free of, but we are free to. And we are free to exercise ourselves in godly living. We are free to come and worship the Lord. There's nothing to hold us back from gathering together with the people of God. We are free to glorify God. We are free to praise with our mouth. Elsie and I have been reading in the Psalms. We noticed here the other morning that the last five Psalms, I think it's 146 through 150, begin with, praise ye the Lord. And you look through the Psalms again and again, we are admonished to praise the Lord. That can only come through freedom in Christ Jesus, I believe. Now maybe you say, well, that's wrong because they didn't have freedom in Christ Jesus when this was written. There's a sense where that's true, but I believe today the only way we can truly praise God is through freedom in Christ Jesus. And so we can live lives that show His praise, not just with our lips. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now it doesn't say, now don't get me wrong here, but it doesn't say that you're going to show forth His praises by going around and singing songs. Yes, singing songs is one way of doing it. But it says you're going to show forth His praises by the way you live. That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you. Because you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know, the reason that many of our forefathers came to America was to have freedom to worship according to the dictates of their conscience, according to the way they believed that they should worship God. They were repressed in their religious practices in Europe. And so they came to America and found freedom here. But you know, unfortunately, many of their descendants today are really not interested in how God should be worshipped. They are more interested in what enjoyment they can get out of life. They are more interested in seeking their own freedom. They are not interested in coming under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, I had to wonder today on this Lord's Day morning, if you go across the land, you run here and there on those who would have maybe similar background to what we've had. How many of descendants of those who came to seek a free worship seek that place today, or how many of them are seeking for their own freedom, their own pleasure, their own will? And so, in conclusion this morning, I would just like to say that we have been set free. I trust that's your experience. We are free from sin and its consequences. We are free of also sin and its consequences. And we are free to live our lives in accordance with God's will. We don't find freedom in a town such as Liberal, Missouri. Nor do we find freedom locked away in a prison cell. Neither do we find freedom in doing that which I want to do. But it is found in the liberating work of the Son of God and the Spirit of God in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so I'm trusting today that we can come to this time of communion in freedom. Free to serve God and free from our own selfish desires and ambitions. Let's kneel together for prayer.